Welcome to the Nightbird Radio Podcast. I'm Timothy Saylor, and I'm going to be your host this evening as we sound out the subconscious, navigate the nocturnal, and explore the farthest reaches of our experience, coming at you from the great forest deep in the heart of the Kali Yuga. This is Radio for the Hauntological Turn.
Nightbirds, I'm excited to announce the inaugural flight of the Nightbird Radio Patreon. I've been searching for ways to bring y'all into the flock, to get y'all more involved, to offer more opportunities for you to support, and to continue to grow in what I can contribute to you, my listeners. And I've landed on Patreon. So for just $3.33 a month, you'll get access to monthly Q&As, bonus panel discussions on member-selected topics, and membership in our private Discord server, where you can perch on the wires and sing with other Nightbirds, guests of the show, and yours truly. Visit patreon.com/nightbirdradio to join. That's patreon.com/nightbirdradio. Patrons will be mentioned on the show and listed in the show notes. I'm excited to invite you to join me on this new journey for the podcast, and I look forward to flying with you. Now, let's get to the conversation.
And welcome back, Nightbirds. It's great to have you back, and it's great to be back. Welcome. This week, I am rejoined by Lindsay Stark. Lindsay, how are you doing today?
I'm blessed and happy. How about you?
I'm great myself. It's great to be Nightburden.
Yeah, you know? You've been real busy. So
I've been doing what do we call it? Just like life shit, man. I mean, that's kind of what always happens when I take these breaks. But the way I see it is I go out and I live my life and I come back with things to talk about. Now, you know, there may be a world in which I learn how to do this at the same time as podcasting, and you know, that maybe we're closing those rings. But I always like to look at it as going out on the wild hunt, going out and wandering the road, traveling the paths that we travel in our lives, and then returning to the village, you know, with goodies.
Yeah.
So that's the topic, kind of one of the topics that we wanted to discuss today. I know we've been kind of mulling around this episode a while, like having conversations about it. And you know, I don't know who it was, one of those. I don't know who needs to hear this, but I imagine, you know, I needed to hear this. Mm-hmm. You know, I needed to understand this, and without, you know, front loading it too much, and you're like, what are you talking about? People be wilding out.
People be wilding out. It's true. No, it's something we've touched on in some of our previous conversations on the podcast, in addition to, you know, just sort of the conversations that we have side by side, you know, talking a lot about very practical things. About the lessons that come from, you know, doing consistent periodized strength training, my rants about astrodumerism and stuff, and some of my my previous rants on the podcast are kind of aligned with this, and you know, you and I both have had, like, over the past year, had to just do a lot of the hard work and the boring work and the non-glamorous work, and so it's been top of mind for me, and so I think I imagine for a lot of other folks, particularly, you know, at this point in the timeline, like,
yeah,
there is good medicine in the age of air, when everything feels totally intangible and hard to parse and terrifying, there is a medicine in something that has still got that like earthy, you know, dense and material nature to it. And again, we're sort of dancing around it. Dancing around the idea. So
I want to figure out like how to encapsulate it in a sentence. Like the way I described it recently was, I've been on a big material circumstances kick. And it's like, you know, I've just been like paying my bills and like working a job and like slowly building like relationships at that job. Like I've been doing some magic and some enchantment here and there. You know what I mean? I think that like, but this is the thing. I don't think there's a distinction.
No.
I think that the magic that we're doing here is living this life. And if you can do that with enchantment, that's great. But like, I think that everyone is doing this. Like, it is we are in a magical place and an astounding place where great things happen. And people every day are bending the world around them to their will, whether it's just like, even if I decide, I get up one day and I'm like, I'm not going to leave bed today. I'm just going to fucking stay in bed. The amount of spirit propelled matter involved in just that is magical. You know what I mean? And like, granted, I'm not saying that's what we need to do, but I'm just saying like, even if you do nothing, it's like, I was thinking about it today. There's no I'm going straight signal in the car. Like you just go. Like there's like, you don't have to signal it. You just,
yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I mean, the experience, this experience is a material one. When we decided to incarnate, we didn't all decide to be ethereal beings. We are living in a material world. And you know, maybe there's somebody listening to this podcast who's a monk who can just spend all their time sort of focusing on that ascension process. And if so, that's really interesting. And please come on the podcast, because that would be a dope-ass person to hear from. But like, yeah, for most of us, we are ultimately operating in the material realm first and foremost. And
this life, you know, is important.
Yeah.
And go ahead. But
I was going to say, you know, for me, so much of it, and I, you know, I'm not going to like preach to folks. Like, it comes from, ultimately, I approach everything from a Marxist framework, which is fun, you know, to have a Marxist magical practice that like everything, many factors are important, but first and foremost, you have to look at the material circumstances, and that like, it doesn't matter how free your mind is if you can't feed your family.
Right. Scrying the ether is cool.
Pay rent. Yeah.
But like scrying the ether and having like being able to pay rent is even doper. Like,
yeah.
So yeah, that's like, well put, and I'm glad that you mentioned, like, brought up some of those points. Like, because, okay, and maybe I'll just come at it from this angle too, before like going into the anecdote of like where we kind of like spitballed this. But like, I talk to a lot of people and I see a lot of the information that goes around, and like, you know, I'm into the woo woo shit, man. I like watch Instagram reels and TikToks about weird shit. Like, I'm listening to what's going on. I listen to podcasts. I talk to people that are involved in this life, whether it be like just astrology or spirit work or, you know, practical magic, chaos magic, whatever. And I'm not saying everyone does this, but I talk to a lot of people that are like, it doesn't matter. I'm a spirit inhabiting a human body. Like, this doesn't, it's not like, this isn't the true reality of who I am. Yeah, exactly. The true reality of who I am is a spirit. And so this doesn't matter. Or like, that can go from that all the way to, I talk to people that are like, everything is fake. It doesn't matter. Everything is fake. This is all a matrix. This is a hologram. Or, you know, every news story you see is fake. It's just put on just to psyop you. And so that's a spectrum, right, that we can all inhabit. And dude, I've been on every end of that. I've been there. You know what I mean? Like we go out and we go to we scry the ether sometimes. We go out into the weirdness. But lately I've come like way back in and reeled way back in because, well, if I'm a spirit having a human experience, the point is that that spirit chose to come here and have a human experience. Like, and there are people that care about you, and there are things that I came here to do. And there are, like, the whole point of this is the material experience. Like, or else you wouldn't have come here. You wouldn't have come to a material plane if you weren't interested in having a material experience. So it's kind of like saying, like, oh yeah, I'll play Monopoly. And then, like, the whole time being like, this is just fake. This isn't real. Well, like, no fucking shit, it's not real. It's a game. But, like, the point of the game is to play. And if you're going to, like, play the game but then not play the game, you're being disingenuous not only to yourself but to the other people that are taking their time to play. And that might sound harsh, but, like, I think we need to hear this right now. This is something that I think is really important to us right now.
Yeah. Well, I think particularly people are so fractured, divided, and fucking depressed.
Yeah.
There is a psyop that we're all fucking doomed, that the space weather sucks, that, you know, the archons are controlling us. The psyop is that you can't change your circumstances. And that,
yeah, it's
and
end
that,
of the world.
And that also, again, that you are alone. That is, you know, the psyop. We're in a community of human and non-human spirits, and that sort of either a pessimist mindset or an overly individualistic mindset is counterproductive and totally anti-life. Like, it's,
yeah,
and like, it is, you're not going to get anywhere that way. That's not how being a human is.
Yeah, and you're going to keep going through the same shit over and over again and wondering why it's different. Well, I'm an ascended being. Why do I keep having the same experiences? Well,
yeah.
I mean, it's not everyone around you. I'll give you a hint. I'm not saying everyone's doing that, but I do just come across that. And that might be more, that's a little maybe more for the far afield, you know. I don't think that everyone that listens to this is having that thought. But yeah, so damn, I was about to say something too and I lost my train of thought. Yeah, so let's talk about where we were. You know, we've been talking about this for a while and we ended up kind of taking these notes for this episode in this kind of little sitting area in a strip mall. And we were right outside of an IV.
Yeah, like, one of those places that does the fancy IV treatments where you can go get your, like, B12 infusion, whatever. And I know a big reason why people do those is, like, they're hungover, and so they go and, like, rehydrate and get a bunch of vitamins and shit from the IV. And it's like, bro, there's an easier, cheaper way to avoid hangovers than getting an IV. And that's like, it's sort of, you know, when I was thinking about this episode, I was like, how much of this is just like channeling like stern dad energy of like, sometimes you just gotta do the hard work, but like sometimes you do have to do the hard and boring and non-glamorous work.
Yeah. And we could do it with style.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I look great not drinking and being very hydrated.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that brings me to kind of one of the first points is like this, like, there's a hack. There's a hack. Like, okay, I can drink all I want because the next day I can just get an IV. or like I don't have to like put in the work because I can just like do a bunch of magic, you know? And I think we're like, and I'm not going to do that thing either where it's like, oh, this generation just has short attention spans. Like, I think our attention spans are shortened, and I think we do, but I don't think it's limited to just like this generation. I think it's probably cyclical. I think it's just like that age of air kind of mentality of think about the information we have at our fingertips. I'm able to just find out anything I need to know. And I think that kind of affects the way in which we also perceive the natural processes of life. You know, like I do this, I want the good shit now. Like, where's my stuff? Like, I'm doing the right thing. I've been doing the right thing for 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. I've been where it's like, I've been doing it right for 6 weeks. Where's my rewards? And I think that sort of thinking, that quick hit of dopamine that's always available to us in the Kali Yuga, that is not backed by any real substance, that lends itself really well to like dangerous, dare I say, like Luciferian in the Steinerian sense, magical thinking, where it's like, I'm just going to take the lightning path. Fuck it. Like I can just do the toot, 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 toot up the tree of life, you know, by just like hitting the magic hard. But then meanwhile, you know, I'm like, my life is falling apart.
Yeah. And I'm willing to believe that there are people for whom, you know, that works, but it's something that I see kind of caretaking part of a magical community and working with people and you know, all sorts of different types of folks who have all sorts of different sorts of problems. And, you know, like the material sort of the Kali Yuga kind of sucks ass. Like our mutual friend who's looking for jobs and just everything's like weird AI shit and fake jobs. Like it's rough. I'm not saying kids these days just need to apply themselves harder or whatever, but taking a moment to look and see, to look critically at the magic you're doing and seeing if your magic isn't improving your material circumstances. And I don't just mean like finances and wealth stuff here. Like there's the material circumstances includes also your interpersonal relationships, your health, all of the things related to, your mental health. Like if those things aren't getting better based on the magic that you're doing, then you need to look at your practice and see either what's wrong with your magic or what is outside of your magic that is counter to your goals.
And I also want to say, if the person or people that you may be buying magic or learning magic from doesn't have something you want in those regards, it may be beneficial to look at it and say, do I want what this person's offering? Because I know there's a lot of people, and I don't even know that they're hucksters, but like there's a lot of people offering their magic. I don't want their life. I don't want what they have. Like, so what, you know, like, it's like, I'm trying to say this in like a politic way. Maybe I don't need to be, but you know what I mean? Like, don't buy success magic from a loser. Like,
yeah, don't.
Or someone that you would consider that, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know that that's a useful.
Yeah. And again, I mean, I think that's useful because that means more than just like, again, it's not like, well, if you're not, you know, making six figures, like you're not really a successful magician. It's more if somebody is constantly a pessimist, pushing people away, complaining about their circumstances, all that stuff, that's a sign that that person is not in right relationship to like the universe as a whole, really.
Yeah,
and so their magic isn't going to be good. Like you can have good material circumstances and be poor.
Yeah.
But you can't have, if you're fucking miserable and you spend all your time sowing strife, you know, people who say that they want community and then they're constantly bad-mouthing other people and starting shit fights on social media and stuff like that. Like, that's not a person who's in right relation with the incarnated community or with the spirit community.
Yeah. And, like, that's why I think the best way for me to put it is, like, it's really looking at, like, does this person have what I want? Because if you want what they have, go for it, dude. Go for it. But if I look at someone's life and they don't have what I want, if they're, like you said, like wallowing in a bunch of negativity, you know, like don't have the ability to like pick their battles and like let shit slide, like that's my standards. I think everyone should have their own standards for what they want out of something. You know, some people like dig that kind of like trigger happy shit, but like that's not for me. And so there were some situations where like, yeah, I wasn't in alignment with what I wanted based on the lots I was casting in with others. And I had to really look at that and be like, am I in alignment with this? Like, am I? Because I think there is an energetic nature, like an importance of the energy that I put into other people. You know, like if you want to know someone, look at their friends. And like, so I had to do some boundary drawing, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel that. And looking at people, I think looking at how people behave in community, like if you are someone who accepts people who disagree with you, who, you know, can work out things versus being like, you know, everything is a betrayal or an opportunity for a shit fit. Like, yeah, it's something. And seeing, you know, there is not, it comes from a lack of an abundance. I mean,
yeah,
you and I talk a lot about the abundance mindset, right? And like, and obviously, you know, again, coming at things from, I sort of juggle that with coming at things from a Marxist perspective of like, okay, there isn't infinite abundance because a lot of it is being held on to by, a subset.
Well, that's the thing. That's I think that it actually fits well with Marxism because, right, like, so like the natural state is abundance, but there is a manufactured scarcity going on. That's like, and so that's, you know, what you might want to call the archons, right? Like,
yeah.
Someone that wants me to believe that these things are finite and scarce when really there's fucking plenty to go around. These aren't going around.
Yeah. So we have infighting in the, you know, in the magic guru
space. That's
what
magic is for, I feel like, is helping that flow, restoring that flow.
Mm-hmm.
It's a deeply It is community. Like it is not like the individualistic hoarding, like get the fuck off my property kind of vibe. You know what I mean? It's like, this is a river that flows that we all are, it's our birthright to all
absolutely
drink from and bask in and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I could just get an IV. Like I could just eat a beef bag.
You could just eat a beef bag.
I could just, like, because I think, okay, this thinking, I think, also comes around in, and again, like, I've been here too, because I've done all this shit, like, and these weird, like, diets and weird, like, cleanses and, like, oh, you know, like, And fasting, I did that too. Like, I think, you know, that's maybe okay, but like, it wasn't good for me. But like, all these magic bullets of like, oh, well, you know, if you eat only mugwort for 6 days or something, you know what I mean? Or like, whatever it is, dude. Like, that's just a, like, not to, I'm not, no shade on mugwort. I'm just saying, like, it's like, you might want to diversify like what you're eating. But I think that that's kind of a similar thing, right? Like, oh, take, you know, like whatever the newest fad is, like do a salt bath or like whatever the fuck. I don't know.
Yeah.
You could probably think of a couple off the top of your head.
Salt baths
are dope, actually.
Yeah, salt baths are the equivalent of
I fuck with them.
Yeah, that's a
like, you know what I mean? You know, like what, think, come up with some for me. Like, you know, if you just do a motor oil.
I think you see a lot of it. And maybe this is the circles that we're in, sort of. I see a lot of it with like astro stuff where it's like, oh, if we've got to make it through this particular astro weather period, you know, and everything being boiled down to some sort of a space weather thing, you know. Oh, I'm never ever going to be successful because I have this, you know, afflicted Mars or something like that, and that sort of doomerist thing, and so therefore everything is about hacks for fixing Mars instead of saying like, okay, where are the, like, I actually
that's an interesting through line. I didn't see where you're going.
Like I have my Mars is in detriment, and like I'm a fitness person. Like what it is taking the Mars in Libra is tough, but it makes the ability to find the balance, see both sides, work with people, that sort of communicating nature of Libra, like it ends up being a superpower. That's not as, you know, sure, if my Mars were in Aries, like I could punch things real good. I don't know. Like, but every looking for easy solutions is never going to be as good as realizing that the only way out of something is through it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's well, better put than I could. I was kind of struggling. But oh, if I just like do cryotherapy, then I'll be okay. It's kind of where I was going with it.
Yeah.
Like,
well, you know, fucking ice baths. Fuck ice baths.
Yeah. Like, do a cold plunge and like you won't have it anymore. Like, and like, whatever, dude. Like, do, if it floats your boat, then fine, do it. But like, I know that for me, I spent a long time trying to, like, you know, like if you just sleep on a bed of, you know, Tibetan marbles like for 3 days, then like your karma will be cleansed, you know what I mean? Like, I've done a lot of that kind of shit where it's like, take this, take that, you do this tea, do this thing, and this will finally get the mRNA out of your this will rid your body completely of mRNA. Not recommended. But, you know, whatever it is, dude, I don't know. I think there's a lot of that. It's weird because, and I don't know that we know how much we want to get into this, but I feel like it's kind of in a strange way flipped, like where that used to be like a hippie thing, you know, like all the weird kind of like snake oil panaceas and stuff, maybe.
Yeah.
And now it's like very much just like a,
are you invoking the new age to alt-right pipeless?
Yeah. There's a fucking,
which, but like, there's, you know, it annoys me as a thing, but as a trope that people invoke where they're just like, well, you know, like there is a reason why you have that sort of horseshoe thing, why it happens, but also why, you know, we can make fun of it. I think there's particularly something I see with people in the magical community is we're all fucking smart weirdos who are used to questioning the dominant paradigm that we're told and like building our own reality tunnels. And so the idea that there's just, you know, one weird trick to unlocking the universe is very enticing because it's the idea of like, ooh, I figured out this secret. Dude, and I've been, you know, again, I was guilty of it too. I feel like I'm still doing penance for years of, you know, proselytizing the one true paleo to people.
Yeah, I was a big keto guy forever. Like, only I'm just only going to eat, yeah, like fat. And like, it's interesting, right? Because maybe there is one weird trick that unlocks the secret to the universe. You know what I mean? But like, and this gets me back on track to like the lightning path. What if there is, but it's also an incredibly dangerous and risky procedure that takes a lot of mental fortitude, but also like you almost go insane like 10 different times trying to do it. And like only, you know, half of 1% of people actually like get that answer and the rest are blasted into the zone. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
Like, is that worth it? And like, I think a lot of people look at that. And cause again, I speak from experience where I looked and I was like, yeah, I think it's worth it. I think I'm one of those 0.5%. I think I could fucking do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then like, and then you do it and then it's like, oh, I didn't make it. And so it's like one of the things I thought of, you know, in the notes for this is like, everybody want to take the lightning path, but nobody want to get fucking struck. And I think that like, this is the same thinking that was behind my drug use. It's like, what's the quickest way from point A to point B? How can I fucking taste the bliss at the center of God? Well, do some fucking heroin. It'll get you. You'll get there. But what's the price? What does it take on the back end? Because that stuff always, I was thinking about this today for like, I was like, listening to some Queens of the Stone Age and the song First It Giveth. And I'm thinking about like, it's interesting because there's a spirit of drugs that like actually the drug dealer acts just like the drug. They give you everything up front and then on the back end, they take it all. That's how the drug works. And that's how a pusher works too. So I think it's not being brash when I say, who's pushing us? Like, who's pushing you? Are you getting something pushed on you? Is someone offering you or something offering you like something that seems like too good to be true? Or like, I'm getting it all up front. But okay, so then, but what are the ramifications of this? I think that's an important thing to ask, like when dealing with a spirit or a kind of magic or anything. Like, and dude, I'm all for like, just go for the magic. But there's other work that needs to surround that.
Yeah. Yeah. And think critically about, you know, that spirits too have their own agendas that, you know, folks who make big decisions based on a...
was that a June bug?
That was a June bug. People who make a big decision based on like a tarot pull or something. And, you know, I'm not going to tell anybody how they should or shouldn't live their lives, but there are spirits who will tell you what you want to hear or who will tell you what they want you to hear to get their own ends. And people, human people, because, you know, spirits are just not.
And I think this is why it's also important to have a reader. Like,
mm-hmm.
This is why we go to another person and ask them to do it, like help us, you know?
This is not to be the biggest nerd in the world. It's the scientific method, right? Like you build a hypothesis and you validate it. And one of the ways you validate it is by repeating results, getting outside non-invested people to be able to see the same thing that you're seeing.
I just like to build an echo chamber and then bask in the sound of my own voice. What do you mean?
Yeah, right? Right? Yeah, it's so interesting. I was like watching the like radical unschooling TikToks, these like parents who say like, I don't want my kids to be indoctrinated in public schools. I'm going to teach them at home and just let them, you know, create their own curriculum, whatever. And the idea is so that they don't get indoctrinated. It's like, so you're keeping your kid at home and just telling them everything that you believe because you don't want them to be indoctrinated. Like the call is coming from inside the house.
Bro. Like parents are the number one indoctrinators of children. Like,
yeah.
You like talk about this. Like, you ever meet someone and they're like, oh, I don't know your parents, but I know that you're probably just like them. Like, I can tell that you're like just a clone. Yeah, that's funny.
Now that we've met each other's parents, you actually are kind of like your mom.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But I don't think I'm very much like my folks.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm kind of like my dad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Come on. Yeah. That's such a classic. Oh, I'm not like my parents. Like, yeah, everyone is. Like,
yeah.
I'm not saying it's, you know, I just think it's ancestral. That's just how it goes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I think it's funny to like, I don't know. I think there's an importance, like to push pull is important. And like, that's part of like what we're talking about, right? Like I have to participate in life. I just have to participate in the world. And you know what? Fuck, I don't have to, but like, I obviously chose to because I'm here.
Yeah.
And I choose to every day because I'm not in the cave somewhere. You know what I mean? And like, if you don't want to participate in the world, well then go to a cave somewhere. But like, mm-hmm. I can't say that I don't want to participate in the world and then keep doing world shit and then wonder like why everything sucks. You know what I mean? Cause that's not an alignment. Like that's not being in alignment with what I want. So like, if I don't want to participate in the world, then go fucking make a homestead or build like a little hut in the woods or some shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. That's great. People do it. There's fucking highly enlightened people that do that. But you got to walk the fucking walk. Go do it.
Yeah.
Like stop fucking up everyone else's.
Yeah. And ready fucking.
Everyone else's game of Monopoly.
Yeah. Like we, you know. Yeah. Again, I get so weirded out by people who are so convinced of this, you know, mega individualistic, self-sufficient, like I'm gonna,
dude, I'm half talking
completely
myself
forge my own path.
I was totally in that psyop for a long time.
Yeah,
it's a good old American psyop.
Yeah,
it's the cowboy shit. It's like you can only do it, pull yourself up by your bootstraps and fucking go, you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. manifest it, baby. And like, it's not that good.
Yeah. We're a social organism.
Yeah. Yeah. We're social. And like, oh, you need other people, man. Like, I don't know. Maybe you don't. But if you don't, then don't expect other people to like put in the work for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's just a matter, like, and I don't, like, again, I'm probably, like, preaching to the choir. I just think that, to some extent, like, I'm speaking from my own experience. So, if anyone is listening and is like, hey, maybe I do that some, I'm like, you're not alone, because I've done it too. But I think that also, like, it's important to come back from that and be like, whoa, you know, I went this way, and it didn't do anything for me. I didn't progress. I didn't like, I gave lip service to a bunch of shit that I didn't really believe because I wasn't actually doing it. You know? And that the only way to really do what I was talking about was in community. But also the only way to really do it was just to like do it.
Yeah. Dude, yeah, it's just sometimes you've got to do the boring, unsexy stuff. So So let's say a listener is listening to this and they're like, damn, I've been wilding out.
I've been wilding out. Yeah.
I've been wilding out. Tim and Lindsay, what should I do? So I'm thinking about sort of, you know, obviously we talked about examining, looking critically at your practices and whether they are in alignment with what your goals are for your material circumstances, what that best life would look like in terms of your own position to the, you know, wealth and comfort and living and health and your relationships and your community and things like that. But also, like, what other mundane magic can people be doing to kind of push themselves? Because I do think, you know, ultimately, like, a lot of what we're saying is, like, sometimes you just got to get a job. Sometimes you just got to pay your bills.
What if the most magical thing that you can do today is get a job? What? And I'm not saying that's true, but I'm saying if that is true, what does that mean for the world? Like, because what I'm saying is that getting a job can be a highly magical act. And I'm not saying you have to do something you really don't want to do, you know? Like, sometimes it might be just like the happiest medium of like something that is not that bad. You know what I mean? But it's like, who wants to get up and go to work? Fucking nobody, you know? But like, I also have things that I want that sacrifice makes it a lot easier to attain those things. And so, yeah, what if the most magical thing I can do is get out of bed and go like chop wood and carry water? What does that say about reality? Well, I just think that reality is made of magic. It's highly magical. And so I think what this mindset of like, but that's not magical, that's mundane, that is a psyop. And I think what that psyop really separates you from is the true astonishing nascent enchantment behind what we would call mundane reality. It's all fucking magic. You're doing it. The breath is magic. The spoken word is magic. The handshake is magic. The putting aside my pride and pocketing that shit and like just going and being a part of someone else's organization is magic. And asking, how can I contribute? How can I be of service to you? And not even thinking like, of course, like we always have in our mind, like, well, there's something I'm doing this for. Like, I'm not just doing it for free. But like really putting myself in the reality tunnel of I care about this organization. I care about these people and I want to help them have a good day. I want to help someone, you know, have a good meal or something, whatever your job is. You know?
Yeah.
Like, that's magic. And I think what the psyop of like, fuck this mundane shit does is it separates us from the true magic of life. That's the matrix. The matrix that you live in is the matrix of your own disenchantment, because the world isn't unenchanted. The world is enchantment. That's all it is.
Yeah. And as we work toward a world where, you know, everyone, you know, earns a sustainable living wage that they can use to, like, while we work toward a better world, like,
be the better world, like, live in the world that you want to be in.
Yeah.
Like, I know it's not perfect. Like, dude, companies out here fucking taking, and really, like, there's a lot of alienation and there's a lot of exploitation and there's like all that stuff. But like, but I still, you know, I can choose to live in the world that I want to inhabit. And that's like it takes gratitude. Like, I have to be in gratitude for like the opportunity. And it almost does sound like, it's weird, right? Because it almost does, again, sound like just dad advice. Like, you just have an opportunity, just be grateful for your opportunity. But like, there's a magic to that. To me, that's the only, it's been the only thing that's made it livable, man. And like, I'm not saying I have to even be okay with it, like, because I can hold two ideas simultaneously, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I can know that this isn't, like, this is not the better world our hearts dream is possible. But at the same time, like, I'm going to, like, what I can control is my experience. And, like, I can, like, fucking have a bubble of that, you know, utopia around me. And I can, like, bring that into the world. That's how we bring it into the world. That's how we be it. That's how we do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Not by removing ourselves from the world or by getting fucking doom-pilled about everything, which, like, you know, I'm fucking guilty of it too. You know,
if you really think it's evil, go throw a Molotov cocktail, bro. But, like, don't sit around and do nothing and just,
yeah,
pitch.
don't post online.
Like, that's the trap that I think, that's really the trap, right? Because we have this, like, we have this system that's really, it's, you know, obviously the rich are getting richer, and it's like this, it's like I always describe it as a zip tie. A zip tie only gets tighter, it doesn't loosen. You know, it's like a noose. It, the powers take and take and take. The richest people get richer and richer and richer, and like it just continues to kind of like, it's kind of like, it's like, I don't know if this is a thing that I made up, but I always called it the law of suck. Like, things just always suck more. It's like, oh, this thing's pretty cool. How are they going to make it suck? You know, and that's true. But like, there's that reality. And then there's this weird off-gassing opportunity that we're given through like social media, which is fucking probably a mind weapon, mm-hmm. where it's like, I can off-gas all my frustration onto this meaningless forum and I don't really have to do anything. And it just, I think it will catch a person in a loop of negativity and ingratitude, you know? And so it's weird, right? Like, it's weird that the most revolutionary, like, what if the, and okay, so what if the most revolutionary thing I can do is like just kind of joyfully participate in this system that I know is kind of fucked? Well, I don't know the answer to that. You know what I mean? But like,
yeah. Yeah, it's tough. It's tough to do that in late stage capital, right? Like, it's.
Dude, yeah, because Kali Yuga is fucking brutal, baby. Like, it's.
Yeah.
It's.
So I think, you know, again, I want to. Because it does sound like that advice, like, want to say to folks, like, if you're fucking miserable, like, not invalidating that. It's really hard right now. We are in a tough part of the timeline. And that's where I think, you know, ultimately the thing I want people to take away from this is, you know, don't trust pessimism. And don't, if you see a problem, examine it. Don't just throw your hands up that the circumstances are unsolvable. Instead, look to the circumstances and see what you can do to change things.
That gave me a thought. Go ahead.
Yeah. It's the, you know, it's the classic optimism is a spell.
Dude. And as you know, I won't speak for like everyone listening. And I won't even speak for you, in terms of like cosmologies, but personally, as an animist, as a person who believes in the reality of spirits and the plurality of spirits, as a person who believes and has experienced and knows the reality of death as being an initiation and not an end, I think there's also this big psyop of like, the end of the world. And it's interesting to see people rail against Christianity but hold a Christian eschatology because the end of the world is a Christian eschatology. Like that is a psyop of like a, I want to say it's just innately monotheist. I don't know. Like there might be better words to describe this, and I'm not using the best ones, but I'm just going to use what I got. But like, you know, like a pagan animist kind of view of the end of the world is just a cycle. It's just a cycle that repeats. This is natural. This is like, this is how things work in this realm and how they always have, you know, there's cycles that just repeat and repeat and repeat. And, so I think that is a mind unlocking thing where it's like, what ideas am I taking to the bank? And are those ideas that I'm taking to the bank in alignment with what I really believe? Because I think that for me, they weren't. And I had to be like, whoa, wait. Like I'm believing something that isn't actually vibing with my cosmology, you know?
Yeah. Radical hope.
Yeah, radical hope. That's good. I like that. Yeah, and like there's been Kali Yugas before, and there will be them again. And if you're listening to this, you're one of the crazy motherfuckers that decided to incarnate in one. So how are we going to be? Who are we going to be in the Kali Yuga? You know, because it's also an amazing time to live in.
Yeah. And how can we lift up as many motherfuckers along with us?
Yeah, how can that tide lift all the boats? Yeah, and not leave people behind. That's the thing, like, yeah. I vibe with the Bodhisattvas on that. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, and dude, there's medicine in that. Like, and not like the medicine of like, oh, I'm special and I'm here for the other people. Like, well, you're here still. So like, we're all in the shit, right? But there's a medicine in like this idea of like, how can I help end the suffering of as many people as possible? Like, how can I participate in the people becoming happy, joyous, and free? Or what is the Metta Bhavana? Like, may all beings be well. May all beings be peaceful. May all beings have noble friends. May all beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. Like, how can I participate in that? And, dude, there was a time in my life when I would fucking meditate the Metta Bhavana, and then I would go around and just be like a grumpy son of a bitch.
And that brings it back, right? If your magic isn't aligned with your material circumstances, you got to look at your practice because you're not doing it fucking right.
Yes, and I wasn't. I was in a place of great hardship, you know?
Yeah.
And I thought that like doing all these things would like improve it, but I was just like not changing the way I was living, you know?
Yeah.
The first step
is to change the way you live.
Yeah. If your magical practice, what do we have here? Yeah, you keep saying it, but if your magic isn't improving your material circumstances, examine your practice. And so I have had this, and like, dude, it's cool. Like, you know, we learned awesome stuff about ourselves. I'm not even going to say that like the things that I learned in these times wasn't awesome and like exactly what I needed to learn, and I bring it with me, you know? But eventually I was like, dude, I got to like get moving with like having a life.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So what is mundane magic? Like, what can you do? Like, what is.
I think. Like, it's one of those, actually, the recommendations to like meditate, daily sit with stuff. I think becoming more reflective around your own reactions to things is real good.
What about spreadsheets?
I mean, I spreadsheets solve all life problems, magical, material, and otherwise, as you know.
But I really do like, you know, an inventory with columns. this exists in a lot of practices. But I think there's really something about that, because it's like putting down, getting to down to brass tacks and taking inventory of like what is going on and what can we do about it? Like, what do we have? What do we not have?
Yeah. That actually, there's a, this, that's funny because it reminds me of something I've done for like 10 years. There's a, and shit, I'm going to forget the name of it. So I'll look it up and send it after this, and you can put it in show notes. That's like a 100 question inventory of assessing where you are in life. You, it's just a yes or no. You add up the numbers and you try to get the number higher year over year. And it's, I mean, a lot of it is stuff like, you know, like I enjoy the place where I live and like I can save money and things like that. But also, you know, stuff related to personal relationships. Like there's nobody that I would meet on the street and not want to, you know, would dread talking to, things like that.
Yeah, so, that's good. I like that, because I like always, like, it's interesting to, I find it, or maybe it's just one of the easiest ways to get a metric is like a fear-based one. Like, what am I afraid of right now? Where is there fear in my life? And fear can be, you know, fear doesn't have to be like, I'm afraid of spiders. It can be like, again, like, I don't like where I'm living.
Mm-hmm.
There's a fear factor to that. Fear factor. Not the Joe Rogan show.
You know, I've lived in like a punk rock fucking trap house where I basically had to be dissociated the entire time that I was there because it was so filthy. Like, that's not good for you spiritually. And that's a material situation, right?
Yeah, and it's hard to like it's like, this is common. All right, like from people I hear this a lot, like, and I think we mentioned it in the notes too, like, it's hard to be enlightened when you're worried about where your next meal is going to come from.
Exactly.
And like, one of the best ways to do that, to like take care of that, is to have like some reliable source of income. Cause like the amount of fear that goes away, that frees up my mind to like, you know, deal with other things. It's wild.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, maybe that's not easy for some people, you know, like, obviously it's not just as easy because it's like really fucking hard to find jobs right now. But that's where like the magic comes in, right? Like, okay, so where can I do practical magic for practical things, you know? Like, but I still gotta.
Yeah. You can enchant for money, or you can enchant for all the things around finding, you know, I want to find a job that, you know, is pleasant to go to. I want to get along with my coworkers. I want to feel, you know, there's a concept in psychology called like self-efficacy, where there is it's the source of self-esteem. It's not just that, but the idea of being good at something like is so good for you. So the way that you actually start to build self-esteem, and if you've ever spent time around small children, you can see this when they master things and they feel good about it, and that grows your self-esteem. Like, that your self-esteem grows based on estimable acts. It's not something that you just have. It's like you've got to do the work to build these sorts of things. Again, it's the same deal. Like, magic can help you to find and nurture the circumstances to make all of this work. But like, if you're just enchanting for having money fall out of the sky for you, you're not going to be as successful than if you enchant for, I find something to do to earn income that, you know, I'm kind of like meh on the idea of a dream job, but just like, you know, I don't hate what I do. I get along with people. I feel like I'm helping other people. Like,
it's almost like
that. You're good.
It's almost like you can have all the money in the world, but if you have fucking imposter syndrome, it's not that great. Like,
yeah.
Cause like, think about this. Like, you could enchant for like, and I don't even know if it works this way, but like a fucking mansion and like five cars and like all this cool shit. But like, if you get all that, but you don't have, like you said, the self-esteem, it's still like, you're still going to have to get burn that karma off. Like that's, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And by burning off that karma, I mean, like, you're going to have to go through the life lesson of like, why don't I believe I deserve this? Or why did I think I not earn it? Or whatever the problem is going to be after that. You know what I mean? Cause like, mm-hmm. And granted, like it would help a lot, but I don't know. I think that it works that way with faith too. Like people talk about blind faith and it's like, fuck no, dude, there's no such thing as that. Real faith comes from experience. I really truly know things that I've experienced.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't like, even if it's like, even if it is something that's very out there and spiritual, I've had those experiences. And so I know. But then there's also little things like I know that like going to the gym is going to get me results if I keep doing it.
Yeah.
That's real faith. And it comes from experience. But I can only have experience by doing experiences, by doing the things, by having experiences. That's the same word. You know?
Yeah.
Experience comes from experiences and it comes from doing the things. I have to do them repeatedly. You know? Like I know the benefits of a meditation practice. Because I've had a regular meditation practice. Like, I just know the effects of that. It almost isn't faith. It's like the young thing where like, I just know, I know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's what faith is. That's what real faith is. It's from experience. And in nowhere else. But even someone that has faith in some sort of deity, they've experienced that some mm-hmm. sort of power. You know, it's like, they didn't just believe it like, I don't know. A lot of people probably do, but I don't know.
Yeah.
That's not, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how that works.
I don't know either.
Like, I don't know how it works to have faith without having experienced something.
Me neither.
But maybe it does happen for people.
And I think a lot of people do. And I think it's probably a source of a lot of weird shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not in the cool way. Let's see.
I think we hit everything that we wanted to talk about. Just sending people off with like, don't
write checks your ass can't cash.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not telling you what to do. You do whatever the hell you want to do. But speaking of experience, I just know that like, I've just seen people in magic and in like, this is weird because I'm going to use the same analogy. It's like in magic and in drugs, it's like the Howl thing. Like I've seen the greatest minds of my generation, like, you know, whatever the next mm-hmm. one is. Like, I've just seen people go crazy on this shit.
Yeah.
And this is coming from a person that like, I believe in magic. You know, like I believe in. I do it. I'm about it. But I also, there were multiple times when I like was really close to the edge of insanity. But that's okay. I fuck with that. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
I'm cognizant of those risks. I don't really have them these days because I just think it's, you know, you get through Chapel Perilous and it's like the hard part for me now is like what we're talking about, just like doing the life shit. Like,
yeah,
I got to go out and like deal with people who I believe to be highly unreasonable in many aspects of their behavior.
Mm-hmm.
You know, be with me, ancestors, as I navigate this Kali Yuga. Yeah, I don't know where I'm going with that.
I think it's good. I think ultimately, you know, it's like 90% of this is saying obvious shit, like, yo, dog. But also, I think there's some medicine in telling people, like, if you are at a point where your stuff isn't working for you, that doesn't necessarily mean that, like look at a different, change your reality tunnel in terms of how you're looking at it.
Oh, that's interesting too, because I've gotten to a point where I think that magic isn't real because none of the shit's working, but yeah. I'm not doing like the legwork and the material to like give that stuff a place to land.
Yeah. Odin helps those who help themselves.
Yeah, exactly. Hell yeah. Yeah, I think we touched it.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Thank you so much for coming on.
It's my pleasure, as always.
I had a great time talking about this stuff. And, you know, if this pisses anyone off, I really recommend you reach out to me and let's talk. You know, I'd love to talk about it. Because I think it's fascinating and I think it's something that we need to be looking at.
Yeah, it's really good to talk to people who you disagree with.
Yeah, and yeah.
Try to understand where they're coming from.
Try to understand where they're coming from instead of villainizing them. Yeah, really. It's crazy.
Yeah. That has nothing to do with the current
climate.
The current climate.
Yeah. Well, thanks again, Lindsay. It's always a great time talking to you. And I really appreciate what you bring to the show.
Right back at you, bro.
We'll talk soon.
Absolutely.
Have a good night.
You too. Take it easy.
Do you experience weird shit? Do your parents not like to tell their friends about what you do in the woods? Do you make more friends in a graveyard than you do at a party populated by living humans? Do you have interactions with beings that are not strictly considered human? Do other people look at you like you're crazy when you mention talking to trees in casual conversation? If you fist pumped or even just answered yes to any of these questions, you may be a nightbird. So let's sing together. If you'd like to come on the show and flap your gums with me, share your stories, or just talk about the malleable nature of reality for a while, then send me an email at tim@nightbirdpodcast.com. That's tim@nightbirdpodcast.com. I'd love to have you on the show. But until then, I gotta fly. But before I go, let me say this. Remember, you are never alone. I believe you.